Millie wird bei uns einziehen.
Hallo?
Basierend auf dem weltweiten Bestseller.
Soll ich Ihnen alles zeigen? Sie sollen sich hier sicher fühlen. Das tue ich.
Mit Sydney Sweeney.
Sie sind meine Rettung. Was würde ich nur ohne Sie tun?
Und Amanda Seyfried. The Housemaid, wenn sie wüsste. Ab 15. Januar im Kino.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I just got off the phone with my mom like 5 minutes ago, and she's like, oh, I'm home alone tonight. What am I going to do? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, I think I'm going to make myself some food. I said, what are you going to make? And she said, a grilled cheese sounds nice.
Topical, mom.
I know. I literally was like, mom, God is real.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Let's hit it up. Yeah. Let's dive right in. Yeah. Let's sync it up.
Shall we?
Ready?
Like our period.
Like both of our menstrual cycles. Let's sync this baby up. One, two, three,
Synchroni.
Yes! It's a miracle. This is a sacred episode.
Thank God.
We did it. We have been blessed. We have the heavens on our side.
Thank goodness. I knew it was going to be the day. Hi, you guys. Hi, cute toots. Hi,
besties. To Sunday school. Go ahead, take one of those metal folding chairs that feel like you're sitting on the most painful block of ice you've ever sat on. Go and put it on the world's oldest carpet that never gets cleaned. Sit in a circle, get your Bibles out, or take out your phones and pretend you're on your Bible app, but you're actually just texting people
you're
the whole time.
You're on Twitter.
We're going to talk about our Lord and Savior, Grilled Jesus. First, what's up, everyone? My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a Gleek.
What's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek!
Gosh.
I am so pumped to talk about this episode, dude. You have no idea.
I'm glad, because we'll get into it. I was stressed about this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because, like, it's an episode about religion, and it's, like, who's like, you know what I really want to do is be recorded talking about religion and have a bunch of strangers listen to it.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I was like, frankly, I don't have a ton to say.
Okay.
Shockingly enough. So it is an enormous relief that you are excited to talk about it and hopefully have a lot more to say than I do.
I think I do. And I watched this episode today and I was like, I'm actually really excited to have like a conversation with you about this episode. Because I think, you know, this is one of those times that you and me, I think, you know, I don't know. I think it's just going to be good.
Unless we can bring different perspectives.
Different perspectives.
We can see things.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, we end up hating each other by the end of this podcast.
I really don't. Are you ever nervous that we will hate each other?
No.
Sometimes I am, but I'm also nervous that everyone in the world thinks that I'm the worst, including you.
I mean, that is true. I do.
Very founded. You tell me all the time.
I don't hold it against you.
Oh, no. Thank you.
I have that fear with most people, and I often have that fear on this podcast where I'm always like, I hope I don't put my foot in my mouth and just have everyone turn on me right now. But you and I have enough discussions about touchy subjects where we are like, so don't care when we disagree that I think one of us would have to say a pretty radical statement
true.
to make this podcast end our friendship right now.
That's something I do like about our friendship is I feel like I've never had small talk with you. Like, all of our discussions, they're never about, like, you know, I just asked you what your favorite cheese is and you were like, I don't know. Like, we don't know how to, like, chill out. We either, like, don't talk or we're, like, talking about, like, the intricacies of the universe. So I'm excited.
Heck yeah, baby.
Heck yeah. Let's party.
All right. Do you want to grill up some Jesus? Do you want to grill up our Lord and Savior? Let's see how many blasphemous things I could say in this episode.
I'll keep a count.
All right. Let's get into the Jesus of it all with some
the Jesus
holy
of it all.
Glacks.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Oh yeah. It's time for the Glacks.
Holy Glacks! Holy Glacks! Holy Glacks! Holy Glacks! Okay, so I know I just said Holy Glacks, and we're gonna get into the Glacks, but I did, singing a bad version of the Hallelujah Chorus, did unearth a memory that I have to share with you.
I'm ready.
I'll throw in a Glack to start out, just so you know the jingle you just heard is justified. Grilled Cheeses aired on October 5th, 2010. Okay, so when I was serving as a missionary for my church in Argentina, topical, you know, missionary church. This is an episode about God and faith. Did you hear?
I did.
So we had to do the church in the city I was in was having like a Christmas party, essentially, like a church Christmas party. And the woman in charge of it wanted to do like a choir number. But there weren't a lot of people that went to that church who knew much about music at all.
Right.
And this woman wanted us to do a choir number for Christmas. And instead of, you know, having us sing like a Christmas song everyone knows where everyone sings in unison, she was like, what if we sang For Unto Us a Child Is Born from Handel's The Messiah?
Oh, God.
And then... And then she's like, and Elder Allred, that's me, you sing well, how about you teach it to everyone?
Oof.
So, and also, she didn't have the lyrics in Spanish. She was like, she just played me the music and was like, here you go. This is what I want you to teach everyone.
Oh my gosh.
So thankfully that song is literally just like verses from Isaiah in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like those are the lyrics. So I just like found the verses in the Bible and I translated it into Spanish. And thankfully I had sung it in high school.
Right.
But I literally had to teach, it is like freaking like four-part harmony, the whole song.
Yeah.
Not only is it harmony, you sing it in a round. Because
it's
in Spanish, it's like, ¿Por qué un niño no se ha nacido? ¿Por qué un niño no se ha nacido? And then like one person is like, oh, and the other one is like, y el gobernante sobre sus hombros. It was such a mess. Literally, we got it to sing. I was like, I don't know what you expect this to sound like, because this is a hard song to teach people who have been like studying music for years.
Right.
And no one in this choir has ever had any experience with music. So we're going to give it the old college try. You know, we sure did. We tried our absolute best. The audience was mostly supportive.
Oh.
You could see on some faces that they were like, ooh, this is a fresh take on this song.
It was pretty rough. And so now I cannot hear any piece from the Messiah without remembering Christmas of 2016. I mean, 14. And just truly making Handel roll in his grave.
Yeah.
As we tried our absolute best.
You tried your best. I'm sure Handel was like, yeah. I don't know. Was Handel a nice guy?
I mean, I didn't know him personally.
My headcanon is that he is nice and he thought it was cool.
Good. Thank you, Handel. We also had like one rehearsal. Truly, everyone... I don't want to sound like I'm like trashing on the people in this choir. It was an impossible situation for everyone. Totally. Literally no one could have pulled it off.
I could.
Anyways, back to Grilled Cheeses, everyone. So it was released 6 days after Lena's 14th birthday. It was written by Brad Falchuk.
And a month after my baptism date.
Wait, seriously? Seriously. Topical. Whoa.
I know. I was baptized on September, I think September 8th. So like the month after.
Wow.
I know, topical. And then I left.
It was directed by Alfonso Gomez Rejon. The songs in this episode are Only the Good Die Young by Billy Joel, performed by Puck. I Look to You by Whitney Houston, performed by Mercedes. Papa, Can You Hear Me? From Yentl, performed by Barbara Streisand, sung by Rachel. I Wanna Hold Your Hand by The Beatles, sung by Kurt. Losing My Religion by R.E.M., sung by Finn. Bridge Over Troubled Waters, which is by Simon and Garfunkel, but they're specifically doing the Aretha Franklin version, performed by Mercedes. And One of Us by Joan Osborne, performed by The New Directions. So, Ryan Murphy said that he expected this to be the most controversial episode of Glee yet.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
He and Ian Brennan and Brad Falchuk, really wanted to view religion from like a bunch of different perspectives.
Totally.
So they really tried, they wanted it to be a balanced description of religion. So they tried to make sure that for every anti-religious sentiment that was in the episode, there was a pro-religious sentiment to counterbalance.
Cool.
So that it was like equally showing like the harm that religion can do while showing like the positive things that religion can do, you know?
Totally, yeah.
And he has said, Ryan Murphy has said that the scene in Sue's office, the conversation between Sue and Emma, is the scene that he is most proud to have been involved with in his entire career.
Wow.
Some other glacks about this episode. In the church choir that Mercedes sings with, one of the women in the front row is Amber Riley's sister. I tried to figure out which one it is. I think it's the one on her over her right shoulder. So if you're the audience, it's on her left. I think I tried really hard to find pictures of Amber Riley and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the pictures I would think were that. And then I click on it and it would be an article that was like, Amber Riley and this actor are going to be playing sisters. So I don't know if I ever actually found a picture of her sister. This is the first of two episodes where Mercedes has two solo songs. So
only
the entire
two?
Course of Glee, there's only two episodes where Mercedes has two songs to herself. This is
That's
the first
criminal.
One.
Criminal.
Right? It's a bummer. This was the episode that Chris Colfer submitted to be considered for the 2011 Emmys. A very good pick.
Yeah.
Dare I say
the best pick we've had so far.
I would definitely agree. And guess what? It worked because he was nominated. So good job, Chris Colfer. You have much better taste than some of your co-stars who made some questionable decisions about the episodes they sent in.
We should talk to someone about like the Emmys like process, you know?
Yeah.
I feel it is a really complicated thing that I can't wrap my mind around.
If anyone who listens to our podcast, you know, is like in charge of the Emmys, is on like the board of directors for the Emmys. I literally don't know what it's called.
The Academy. I don't know.
Let us know. We would love to pick your brain about how it works because we have no idea.
Yeah. Also, how do we become Emmy voters? I want to know.
How did two people who are not a part of SAG and have absolutely no film experience...
How did two absolute bitches from the Southwest get on the Emmy Council?
Absolute nobodies become Emmy voters? Please let us know. Okay.
My phone number is 392-1295-5555.
I thought that was your real phone number until you just put a bunch of fives at the end.
That's
was
like, so funny.
Lena, this is too far of a bit. You don't want to open that door. You cannot close it. I was truly desperate for GLACTs. There are almost none for this episode. So here's the last GLACT. It's really exciting. Emma tells Finn that a 300-pound left tackle broke Sam's shoulder, yet left tackle is an offensive position. Offensive, sorry. It's also offensive. I'm offended by it. It was actually the cornerback who had been cheating right all night. That might as well have been written in Latin for me.
I didn't know any of those were even, like, positions.
Hopefully someone in the audience is like, oh man, I knew that was a cornerback. That wasn't a left tackle, like, Emma. Yeah,
I was totally thinking that was a cornerback. A cornerback? What the heck is that? You mean a football team isn't just comprised of a quarterback and linebackers?
It's when you're trying to say the quarterback, but you're really nervous and you trip over your words. You're like, yeah, he's the cornerback. And they're like, did you say the cornerback? And then you're too embarrassed to admit that you tripped over your words.
Yeah.
So you double down and you say, yes, the cornerback.
Yeah, man. That's me every time I talk about sports.
Yeah. And those are your GLACTs.
Good
GLACTs. Are your GLACTs? Those are your GLACTs.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I guess it's time for the recap. It's time for the recap. It's time for the recap. It is time for the recap.
Everybody, give it up for special musical guest, R.E.M.
I know. You thought it was R.E.M., didn't you? That was a really good impression. A really good impression. Let's party, shall we? All right.
Yes.
Here's what you missed on Glee. Finn has an existential crisis when he believes he sees the face of Jesus in his grilled cheese sandwich. Meanwhile, the rest of the kids rally around Kurt after his father, Bert, has a heart attack, which leads to a larger discussion among the group about their own theology. Kurt admits to the group that he doesn't believe in God, and they all try to help him in their own spiritual ways. Finn believes that grilled cheeses has the power to grant his wishes, like winning the football game, touching Rachel's boobs, and sending the new kid, Sam, to the hospital. Emma tells him that might not be the case. Kurt goes to church with Mercedes and realizes that his spirituality lies in the love he has for his dad. And that's what you missed on Glee! Oh, let's party!
Losing my religion!
Ian, tell me, how'd you feel about this episode? How'd you feel about grilled cheeses?
This is the first episode we've done where I literally, like, could not tell you anything about it before rewatching it. Like, I watched this episode live, and I haven't watched it since. I remembered that it existed. Like, I remembered that, like, Bert had a heart attack, and I remembered that, like, grilled cheeses was in it, obviously, because that's the title, but I, like, truly didn't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, this is truly, like, the first, like, Glee tackles a big issue episode.
Yeah.
Because every big issue that Glee has tackled before this was pretty motivated by, like, the characters and the storyline. And this one was just kind of like, why not do, like, a religion episode?
Yeah, totally.
And a lot of the Glee tackles and issue episodes are pretty tone deaf and have, like, a lot of not... They don't really think anything through very well.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised by this episode. I said in the Glax, like, they did a very good job of trying to provide a lot of different perspectives. I like that it's like Kurt is an atheist and he remains an atheist the whole episode. He's not like, oh, wait, you guys are right. And I do believe in God now. I would have freaking hated that. Mercedes has a lot of faith. She remains with a lot of faith throughout the episode. And then you have like Finn, who kind of loses faith throughout the episode. And then Sue, who like gains something, maybe even like just the desire to have a belief system. You don't really know. Totally. But you do have like two constants who are on opposite sides, and then like two different trajectories that kind of like mirror each other.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Of course, it's not a perfect episode, and there were things that I was like, frankly, I was like, you guys, Kurt's going through a crisis.
Yeah.
Why are you making the whole thing about the fact that he's atheist? Like, his dad is in a coma, and everyone is like, but Kurt, have you considered that, like, maybe God is real? Like, you guys need to chill out.
Really?
You're being so invasive and, like, such terrible people right now. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I was very pleasantly surprised by this episode. I think they overall were pretty respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it did have like some really interesting ideas behind it. I have been nervous for this episode specifically because I don't have a lot to say about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I don't have a lot of stuff to critique, but I also don't have a lot of stuff that I was like over the moon about. I was just kind of like, oh, this is all good.
Definitely.
Yeah. What did you think?
I remember this episode so fondly. Like, I remember when it came out, it was like, I always felt like Glee, especially like now, and I'll keep talking about this, was like so pertinent to my life. I don't know. It was just like one of those things that like, I felt like every Glee episode, like somehow made sense with what was going on in my life, which like is so weird. You know how like school does that sometimes where you're like, you're reading a book that's like hits too close to home or something. And I just felt like this episode, I remember seeing it, and it was like the month after I had just like found, you know, a new faith, and I was like, whoa, this like captures some feelings I'm feeling. And then like, you know, as a person who has like gone through a faith crisis, I remember like rewatching it and like, you know, feeling really fond about it. And every time I like, I was just talking to my roommate about it, and I was like, it's the grilled cheese episode. And like a lot of people really remember this episode like with a lot of fondness. And I appreciate that the showrunners didn't really like take a stand. Like, it was interesting. I watched it twice today, and I was like, what is this show trying to say to us about religion? And I don't think it's trying to say much of anything other than like show a bunch of perspectives. Like, I couldn't tell like which like stance Glee was taking. And I thought, and I feel cool about that. Yeah. There are things in this episode that like, you know, we'll get into it. And we'll get into it. But I like this episode a lot. I'm excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah, that was something I liked a lot too, was at no point was it like, and here's the answer, everyone.
Yeah.
It was essentially like, here is just a study in how different types of people view faith and what their relationships with faith are. So that like, maybe you can better understand where other people are coming from in your life.
Totally. Which I think is like a thing that Glee doesn't do very frequently. Like, kind of like let you make your own decision and like show you a bunch of different like options. I don't think Glee does that very often, you know? So I was excited to see that. Let's party. What are the plot points in this? We have Bert and Kurt. We have Finn and Grilled Cheeses. And then, like, the rest of the club.
And then, like, Sue, I think.
Yeah, Sue. Yes, yes, yes. So let's do that.
I think it's, yeah.
Where do you want to start, dude?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you want to start with Finn or do you want to start with Kurt? Do you want to start light or do you want to start heavy?
I think we should start with Finn.
Okay.
I mean, that's how this episode is called Grilled Cheeses, so let's do it.
That's true. Okay, so one of my complaints with the episode...
Okay.
Is it's got some like weird tonal dissonance with this Finn plotline. And here's the deal. It wouldn't be as much of an issue if it was literally any other member of the club. But I keep being like, Finn, your like pseudo stepdad is in a coma. Yeah. Like, there are bigger fish to fry than you becoming quarterback again. And it's weird. Like, I understand, and I don't think it's bad to be like, one storyline is like really viewing religion through like a life or death lens. And the other storyline is just kind of like light and fun, like more comedic viewing religion. I think that's fine. But when the two characters are Kurt and Finn, why does he not care more about the fact that his newfound family is going through like a life or death crisis right now? Yeah. And why does it not occur to him ever to like pray to grilled Jesus that like Bert would get better? And if Finn's lesson had been that it was like, because there's that scene in the locker room.
Yeah, with Puck.
Yeah, he's praying to grilled Jesus to become quarterback. And then Puck comes in and Puck is like, yeah, I've been going to temple a lot. Actually, I've been praying for Kurt's dad. Like, I know it's kind of wussy, but like, I feel really bad for him. Mm-hmm. And that makes you feel like Finn's going to have an epiphany moment and be like, wait, I have been praying for selfish things and I should actually like use this medium to like try and help other people. And I've been like really focused on myself and I should turn outward. But no, he never learns that lesson.
Yeah.
He just like stops believing in God because Emma rationally explains why different things happened. It was just weird. And it made me not like Finn that he was like just completely ignoring what Kurt was going through and what he himself should be going through right now.
I know. I think it is a really weird Finn plot to me because in the beginning, Finn is genuinely upset with Kurt because like he felt like he overheard something about this person who he considers a dad. And he like goes to Kurt and he's like, I know this isn't what a family looks like to you, but this is my family. And then Kurt like shuts him down. And when looking at it, Finn should be more upset about the bird thing. I don't know, but he like, it never gets mentioned again. He like goes to second base with Rachel and that's, I don't know. It's super weird.
Yeah. And that seems bizarre too, because the scene right before it, he's praying. And I literally wrote in my notes, why is Finn not praying for Bert? Mm-hmm. And then he walks into the choir room and he's like, why did I not know about this? Like, why did I have to find out about it from like two guys talking in the gym? And I was like, he wasn't praying for Bert because he didn't know yet. And I actually really like that scene where it presents like neither Kurt or Finn is totally in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like Kurt is correct. It's his dad. Yeah. Like, sorry that he didn't think to tell other people he's the one it's happening to.
Yeah.
But Finn is also correct that he's like, he's the closest thing I have to a dad. I should not have to find out about it from like eavesdropping on someone. And then it just gets dropped.
I know.
It's like, well, anyways, forget that Finn heard about it because we're going to keep acting like he doesn't know about it for the rest of the episode.
But I do like what you said. And I think that's smart of them to do like the religion from a huge life or death standpoint. Because I think so often we have like, you know, like a tragedy happens in a family. And I think so often like that's a time a family like kind of gets pretty religious, at least in my experience. And you know, and then you have like the everyday religious thing. So I like that perspective. I don't know that Finn was the person to do that with, though, you know, because Finn is in the family. I also don't think I picked up on that Finn and Carol had moved out because I was like, this isn't their bedroom.
Wait,
you remember because Finn is praying in his bedroom. Yeah. So did they
theatricality? He kicks him out. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't think I registered how that went down. Because like, were they officially moved in? Did they sell their house? Did they get their house back? What happened there?
I mean,
I have some logistical questions.
The turnaround on Finn moving in with Kurt and then getting kicked out because he calls Kurt the F slur is about like 4 days.
Yeah.
Real estate happens in one episode. Real estate goes fast.
Maybe not in 2010, though. Housing crisis.
Yeah, no one was buying houses back then. They could not sell that place.
I know.
Yeah,
so they were like, I guess we'll move back even, in.
I didn't even catch on that he was back in the Hudson house.
I literally was like, wait, isn't he living with the Hummels? But they kick him out, man. I like to hear that that Bert and Carol are still dating, even though that mm-hmm. happened. That's good for mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. This was my fear. I'm like, no. I don't have, and it's also because it's an episode about religion. I don't yeah. want to like make a ton of jokes.
I know that's so like, true.
Like, think I'm being funny and then actually like offend a lot of people.
Definitely. Like, I feel that way too. Especially like the attitude I have towards religion sometimes is not the most positive one. So like thinking about this episode, I was like, man, I really hope I don't hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings ever.
Anyways, I thought it was very funny. I'll just say stuff about the storyline that I thought was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he still eats half the grilled cheese.
Good for him. He was hungry.
He makes it.
Carol wasn't home.
Has the face of Christ on it. And he's like, oh,
but
I am starving. And so he just cuts it in half. And
that was
the
his
other
dinner,
half.
Man. Jeez. Do you love a grilled cheese great. Or do you love a grilled cheese?
I am pretty apathetic towards grilled cheese.
Really?
I can only eat a grilled cheese if I'm having it with like tomato soup.
Well, that's the best way to have it.
It's great, right? I mm-hmm. just, I have this weird thing where if a meal doesn't have like protein in it, like meat specifically, my body doesn't think it's a meal. Sorry to our vegan and vegetarian listeners. But I always, like, if I just straight up get vegetable soup, I'm like, thanks for the drink, I guess. Like, I have this weird thing where, like, I feel like I haven't eaten a meal unless, like, there was meat in it somewhere or, like, noodles. Like, I can do, a rice base or a noodle base. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, bread bases do not work. There has to be meat.
Really?
Soup is a drink unless it has protein in it. I don't know what to tell
you. That's so interesting. I always feel like I end up being vegetarian, not because I choose to be vegetarian, but because like just most of my meals end up being just peanut butter sandwiches. You know what I mean? I'm dreadfully poor.
Peanut butter is great. I'm big on peanut butter and ramen, let me tell you.
Straight up. Have you ever put peanut butter in ramen?
No, but I will dip my peanut butter sandwiches in my ramen and eat it that way. I don't like cooking it in there.
Wait,
yes,
what?
It's very good. Sorry. Here's the deal. I'm not fancy. I know that like fancy ramen that mm-hmm. is like cooked properly and has vegetables and has all the seasonings is better.
Mm-hmm.
But you can buy cheap ramen for 25 cents.
Yeah.
And it tastes fine to me. So yes, I know that the other ramen is much better, but it's also much more expensive.
Yeah.
I, in college, ate 25 cent ramen and a peanut butter sandwich probably like 10 times a week.
Yeah.
And literally, during Joseph, when we were in Joseph together, my roommate came home one day and he was like, is that all you eat? And I was like, yeah, Mitch, sorry. Like, this whole meal cost me like 50 cents. I don't know what to tell you. I'm saving money, pal. Back into grilled cheeses. This is actually like a plot line for us to talk about, so we're mm-hmm. good. But I will say the line that made me laugh that got us to that plot line. When Finn prays, he says that if they win the football game, he will make sure, like, he will dedicate that week of Glee Club to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he says, it would mean a lot to Artie. I think you kind of owe it to him. I mean, you did kind of screw him in the leg department.
Did you see Artie in this episode?
Yes.
It's the weirdest thing. I noticed it today. It cuts to Artie like three times, and Artie has like a very clear like stance on the entire thing, but he never says anything, and he is like acting for the gods. Like, I was like so intrigued. I was like, I want to know what Artie thinks. Like, there was this bit where it was like Kurt up in the corner, and he was talking about how how he had just like told on the Glee Club and like reported Will. And everyone was getting pissed at him. And he's like, you guys, none of you were thinking about me. And then Artie like was like agreeing with him and like had this look about him, or he was like, yeah, like this is an inappropriate like lesson to be having. And it cut to him every so often. It was really interesting. I wanted to know what Artie thought.
Kevin McHale just so doing awesome. The most literally. With the least.
I know. The absolute least. I don't think he had a freaking line in this episode.
He doesn't speak. I was paying attention the second watch through to see if he said anything. No. And he does not open his mouth once the entire episode.
To him being like mad emotional about something. I want to know. I want to know.
But that brings us to the whole idea of Finn proposing that they celebrate Jesus in the Glee Club this week.
This is the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard in my life.
Before we get to that, though, I just want to shout out when he says that there is a special man in his life, and he says Jesus Christ, and then it does a zoom in on Rachel's
She's
face.
She's like, what?
Now into, Sue is correct. You can't do that.
No, not in a public school.
No.
No.
And the way, I mean, this is kind of jumping onto Kurt, but the way that everyone treats Kurt like he's harshing their mellow.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to have like God week in his public Glee Club, like public school mm-hmm. Glee Club. And then freaking, who is it? Will is talking to Sue. Someone's talking to Sue. I think it's Will. And oh, yeah, it's when Sue, when they're in Figgins' office and Sue says to Will, like, what's up, Will? This is a public school. You cannot have, like, religion week in your Glee Club. And he says to Sue, he's like, well, Sue, I'm just trying to help the kids. They're working through a lot of issues right now. And he specifically name drops Kurt. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Kurt's really going through it right now. You did not decide mm-hmm. to have spirituality week to help Kurt. You decided no. to have spirituality week because your son figure won a football game and asked yep. you if he could. And then yep. Kurt, who is actually going through a crisis, vocalized the fact that it was making him uncomfortable.
Yep.
And you said, who cares? We're going to keep doing it because my pretend son really wants to. It yep. made me so mad.
I know. This is getting into the Kurt thing a little bit too. It makes me really angry how Kurt is going through one of the worst like experiences he's had in a long time. And he like out loud sets boundaries with these people and is like, you know what, guys, like this is not helpful to me. Like my dad is not with me right now. And that's really painful for me. I don't need you guys like shoving something down my throat that I'm not ready for. And the way that Quinn and Mercedes, I feel like at least comes from a place of love. Like she genuinely like wants to like help Kurt. And I think all of them genuinely want to help Kurt, but none of them are listening to Kurt. Like Mercedes in the hallway is like, I don't even know how to talk to you right now. Yeah, Mercedes, of course you don't know how to talk to him right now. He is like actively being traumatized. Leave him alone. My God.
She has that line. Yeah, I think we should just take all restrictions off talking about certain plot lines at
Let's
once.
Go. Yeah.
I feel like there's not enough like defined plot lines going on. Let's just have an open conversation. She has that line when Will is like, boo-hoo, everyone. Sue made it so that we can't talk about God in public school because she's got such a stick up her butt. And then Mercedes is like, Kurt, I know you're hurting right now, but siding with Miss Sylvester is not going to help anything. And like everyone in the choir turns on him
yeah.
and they're like, Kurt, you know, the way that you don't believe in God right now really sucks. And it's yeah. like, you guys,
it's really ruining my school experience.
He is the one in crisis. If it was like, hear me out. If it was like Mercedes' dad had a heart attack and Mercedes was like, you guys, I'm really going through it and I would just love it if we could like focus on spirituality so that like I could have some hope this week. It still is a public school setting, but you could see like where that came from, where that desire to like do it and like be like, come on, you guys, like we should just do it came from, because the person in crisis really wants it and needs it.
Yeah.
But like the person in crisis
doesn't want it.
Actively saying, I do not want this. It is making them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, why won't you just shut up about it and let us do what we want?
Yeah.
That's my biggest complaint with this episode is I'm like, the way that they just truly act like Kurt is the villain.
Yeah.
For not wanting them to just like throw their religion in his face over and over when he is in crisis is ridiculous.
Like when he shows up to the hospital and Rachel is like standing over Bert and Mercedes and Quinn and, you know, Carol and Finn are there too. And Carol is just not understanding where Kurt is coming from. And I think there is some truth to like what Carol says, like sometimes people just like want to be helpful to you. But when these people have heard Kurt say time and time again that that makes him uncomfortable and he doesn't want that, and they actively do not listen to him, come on, you guys. I don't know.
Hear me out.
Hearing you.
This is where we disagree.
Oh, what?
This is where we disagree. It is one thing to say, Kurt, I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to tell you how God loves you and about God's plan for you, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to sing all these God songs at you. Mm-hmm. It is another thing to say, I know Bert personally.
Yeah.
Like Carol is dating him.
True, true.
To be like, I know Bert personally and I'm sorry. It is comforting to me to pray for him. And I know that he is your dad, but I have a personal relationship with him too. And this is what I need. And that's actually something that's really beautiful that I love about the Kurt storyline is that it's not that Kurt learns that like God is real and his belief system changes, but he does realize that even though he doesn't believe that prayer does anything, he recognizes that for these people, it does help them. Yeah. And that for him to tell them they're not allowed to do it, that he's like, he says to Bert, he's like, that wasn't about me. Like them praying for you was not about me and I made it about me. And like, you can understand why, like he's hurting. He's really going through it. They have not been respectful of his boundaries, but I am on the side that Kurt cannot tell people that they are not allowed to pray for his dad.
No. And I get that. But personally, if I were to like have a parent or family member like actively in the hospital and I show up to visit them and I see my school friends there doing something that I like was not prepped for and like had like expressed a like discomfort in, I would be really upset. Yeah. And I understand like Carol being there. I understand Finn being there. I understand even Rachel being there with those two because she is like Finn's girlfriend, but like, I don't know. I personally would be very uncomfortable with it.
I understand that. And I think I'm not saying that like Kurt's invalid. I think that's what the episode, one of the things it does very well is it doesn't say this person is correct. It just gives viewpoints. Mm-hmm. That could be very healing for Carol.
Yeah.
Carol could have been like, hey kids, could you help me out here? Now, Rachel singing to Bert is mega weird and I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate how she like, I actually think the first half of Papa Can You Hear Me is great when they're in the park. And then as soon as she's like actually singing it in Bert's face, it gets real weird and I hate it. But like, I just Kurt does have like the priority relationship with Bert. Like he is his son. He is his flesh and blood. But like, Kurt was, yes, he does show up, but he wasn't at the hospital. Like, very well, Carol could have been visiting Bert on her own time. Yeah. She could have asked those kids to come with her and been like, can we say a prayer together? Like, as a spiritual person, there is the belief system that, like, more people who are praying together, more faith, like the more positive the outcome.
Yeah.
And so I think it's totally fair that Carol on her own time is allowed to go visit her boyfriend with these people and ask them to pray for him with her. And I don't think that Kurt's a bad person for not liking that, but I also don't think he's right for not liking that, you know?
Yeah, totally.
That's my two cents about it, at least.
I get that.
Speaking of Papa, can you hear me, though?
Should we talk about it?
This number... Actually, you go. I just talked for a very long time. So you start out your thoughts on Papa, can you hear me?
Papa, can you hear me? Wow. I love how even with Rachel, this is like one of the... I can't even tell. It's one of the most selfless things she's ever done, I feel like. Like, just, like, so earnestly, like, praying to God for Bert with Finn. Like, it's pretty sweet. I don't know. Like, she obviously is Rachel and she's a weirdo, but, like, it's pretty sweet. And then she sings over Bert's body and it is so funny. I love how she brings her little candle and her boombox.
It's bedazzled.
Like, this girl.
It's bedazzled.
I love her. I remember... I just love Barbra Streisand so much. I love this song. You know who I love in this episode?
Who?
I'm going to say it. Puck.
Oh, Puck is great in this episode.
Puck is so awesome in this episode. I, first of all, love Billy Joel. I think that number, Only the Good Die Young. I know we were just talking about Papa, Can You Hear Me? I'm jumping back. I'm so sorry.
I got Papa, Can You Hear Me thoughts that we'll circle back to.
Okay, perfect. But, like, that number is so fun. The way they all, like, do this, like, little dance move together is so sweet. And then Puck says something that's, like, true spirituality is everything true spirituality is about enjoying the life that you've been given. I see God every time I make out with a new chick. Why do I love that so much? I thought that was so sweet. And then hearing that, like, he's, like, going to temple with his... He says his nanny, which I assume could be his nanny or could be his grandma. I'm not sure. Yeah. But like sincerely praying for Bert. Like, geez, Puck, why are you being so cool this episode?
Yeah, I really love his line about, like, spirituality is appreciating the life you have, like you said. Has anyone seen the Pixar movie Soul? But I do love that. Here's the deal.
What's the deal?
That's not what... Only the Good Die Young is about at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. I thought it was out of nowhere. Of
that song, I was like, well, you really just wanted to put another song in this episode, huh?
Also, how did he just, like, they assigned it, like, 2 minutes beforehand, and he's like, oh, fuck yeah, I got a Billy Joel in my back pocket. Let's party.
Like, I was waiting for something to come up like this so I could whip this one out. Just a proof of how truly... obsessed with Glee I was in 2010. As I mentioned, I had seen this episode a total of one time on October 5th, 2010. I have never seen it since.
Oh.
And yet, watching this episode, it does the close-up shot of Puck, and he does the, you got a nice white dress and a party for your confirmation. And I was like, I know 100%, I am certain that this moment is in the promo for this episode. And I looked it up, I was right.
You're so smart. You're so funny.
Like, you just remember the most random promos things over and over again. Goodness.
Let's circle back to Papa, Can You Hear Me? I'm sorry I totally derailed your thoughts. Didn't have many thoughts.
I agree. I do really like Puck in this episode. So here's where we disagree again. This is the fun thing about this discussion, is we have, like, pretty opposing viewpoints on just, like, a lot of aspects of religion and, like, a lot of this stuff. So it makes for interesting conversation. I love Papa, Can You Hear Me? Specifically because it is a little bit comedic to me.
Okay.
In the sense that it is parroting those people who, like, yes, want to, like, honor God, but also, like, really want to show off. You know?
Yeah.
People who are like, let me bear you my testimony of God, and they make it, like, so about themselves. Like, what?
Do you think someone... she's, like, being performative, like, for Finn?
Yeah, I think 100, like, the fact that she, like, instead of being like, hey, let's pray for Bert, she's like, so my prayer is actually a song. And she has like a prop and she has like her little boombox. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a beautiful song. And like, people, this isn't the only interpretation, and many other people may have taken it as very sincere and sweet. My read of that was that, yes, Rachel does legitimately care about Bert getting better. Like, she does care about Kurt, but she also was like, but if I'm going to help out, I'm going to be really impressive while I do it.
And that's how I felt about her being in the hospital, less about her, like, taking Finn, like, to the woods.
That's why I freaking hate that the song then. I was like, couldn't we have cut to the hospital and it was a voiceover singing and it was just like them silently standing there? Like, why is she still singing in the hospital? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was funny. And I was like, this is exactly why I love Rachel, is because they can, with this character, they can make her so earnest and yet still comedic because she is like so dramatic about everything.
Yeah, totally.
That does not mean that anyone who had a read on the situation as very sincere and touching is wrong by any means. That was just my view on it, is I thought it was a little self-indulgent. But I thought of that as a plus for the episode overall. I thought it was funny.
That's my goats. Do I spy a ring light in your glasses?
Yeah, didn't you know? I have a ring light on me every time we record.
Because I had no idea.
I am in like this little alcove that has no lights in my apartment so that the sound quality is better.
It totally looks like a bathroom. I have no idea what you even are sitting in. Are you on the floor?
No, I'm on a chair. I have like a mini desk. Okay. It's my own little sound booth. I have like a mini desk and I bring a chair in from the kitchen. I got walls on three sides of me, no lights. There's a ring light. And then behind me, it opens up into a wider room. So I just have a mattress propped up as a pretend fourth wall.
Classic.
And that's where I am every time it records. It's pretty high tech.
Sounds pretty high tech.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day, with very little effort. We could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Okay, where do we go from here? Where do we go? I'm here.
Why is the past unclear when we know home is near?
What do you want to talk about next?
Gosh, I don't know. Should we talk about Kurt? Let's just talk about Kurt in this episode.
Oh, I mean, the main plot. I guess we should touch on the main plot.
Maybe. Or we can talk about Sue.
I think, you know, let's do Kurt. Let's Kurt do came Kurt. Out first.
Truth.
Let's hit it. I wrote in my notes, I said, is this the episode when Ryan Murphy became obsessed with Chris Colfer's tears?
I think so.
Because he knocks it out of the park in this episode.
He is truly so amazing.
Yeah, he does a phenomenal job. And I can see that this is the moment that Ryan Murphy was like, I'm going to make this character's life a living hell so that I can get this kid to cry on camera every week.
He is so handsome.
Yeah, and like the way that his eyes glisten. Yeah. Once again, piggybacking off of last week, I am so envious of people who cry so easily.
Mm-hmm. He was sitting in that chair, like reading that book, and his hand was like under his nose and he was just crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, what painting am I witnessing? It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to hold your hand. Mm-hmm. I have very few notes for this episode. But for that number, my only note is, why is this dumb show so beautiful sometimes?
It is. It has no business. It has no business.
Seriously, how dare they put that in there with all the crap this show pulls on us? They put like one of the absolute most beautiful performances I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. Also, that kid looks just like Chris Colfer.
What the hell?
Did they film that stuff like 10 years in the past with Chris Colfer just because they knew this was going to happen?
Who is that child? It's bizarre. Oh my God. I literally was like, that must have been a weird day on set. Because like his nose is the exact same. His hair, the exact same. Right? His eyes, the exact same.
Chris Colfer does not have a common profile. It is unique.
Yeah.
And that kid has the exact profile of Chris Colfer. It's so strange.
So strange. So cute. I love, like, have we gotten a lot of, like, flashback sequences in this show?
I don't know if we've, besides, like, Finn, yeah, when he was little and, like, his mom was dating the, like, the grass painter guy. And, like, the pilot, guy,
yeah.
I don't think we've, and then we've gotten a few of, like, Rachel in Tap Class, but I don't think we've really had any other ones.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this show a show that does a lot of, like, flashbacks. So you would think it would, like, be kind of ill-fitting. Hear me out. I love it. I loved seeing Bert with that tiny curd and the tiny bike spokes and the tiny bow tie and the tiny tea set. So sweet.
It was one of my... And, like, I truly did not remember this number happened.
Really?
And it was one of my favorite performances I have seen on Glee. Yeah. Like, all time. Yeah. It is so good.
Me too. It's so beautiful.
And I just love the idea. Mercedes has a line to Kurt when they're at her church. And I mean, like, she says this in front of the entire congregation, which you're like, Mercedes, like, maybe have this conversation in private. But she says to him, Kurt, I know you don't believe in God, but I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, mm-hmm, like, but you need to believe in something to get through life. And I love that sentiment. And I, mm-hmm, love the interpretation that Kurt believes in his relationship with his dad. Yeah. I love that it doesn't end with, like, Kurt, you have to believe in a higher power. Like, yeah, but it is true. Like, if you don't believe in something, like, what's the point? And that, mm-hmm, something does not have to be a higher power. That, yeah, something can be, like, the goodness of mankind. Or, like, that something can be that you really believe in, like, lifting others up. Yeah. Or for Kurt, that something is that he, like, really believes in his personal relationships. But it's true, like, if you don't have something that you are holding on to, life is absolutely terrible. And so I love that they kind of interpret that for Kurt, that it is like all of these people have these strong religious beliefs and that's what's like what helps them get through life. That doesn't mean that Kurt also needs a strong religious, yeah, belief, but it does show that like he realizes that his relationship with his dad is what gets him through life. Like that's what he holds on to. That's what gets him through hard times. Mm-hmm. And this montage, it's before he comes to that realization,
yeah,
but this montage shows it so clearly and, yeah, just like how present Bert has been in his life, mm-hmm, and like how hard he has tried to have a relationship with Kurt and like how much that means to Kurt.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
I actually feel like this episode is set up really well because you have like Kurt trying to ditch out on like Friday dinners with mm-hmm, with Bert and Carol, and Bert expresses that that's like a really important thing to him and that that's like important to him, and I forget the word he uses, but it's something like sacred. He says like those dinners are sacred to me and you keep, mm-hmm, ditching them and that like that's really hurtful to me. And so we kind of see, without, you know, in so many words, we see that Bert kind of already feels this way, that like his family is sacred to him and that time that he spends with his son is really sacred to him. And then I think like Kurt coming to that realization towards the end that that's like what Bert was saying is really special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe the last thing Bert says to him before he has his heart attack is, "I'm so disappointed in you." Oh, could you imagine?
Ryan Murphy really was like, let's make this kid cry.
I know, literally.
I want to see those red eyes as much as possible.
His whole, like the his like under eye bags, his like entire like mask area becomes so flushed. He is such a beautiful man. Oh my gosh.
I mean, it is like what holds this episode together. I think Kurt specifically is fabulous in this episode.
Absolutely.
I think he's great. I think the lesson he learns is great. I think it's a wonderful arc. I don't know if I have like complaints on the Kurt storyline that I've already voiced, which is like how other people treat him. But like Kurt himself, I don't think I have any complaints.
I don't either. And I like as a person who isn't spiritual, but like is spiritual in some sense, like I really like the realization he comes and like hearing that in words like on TV is so cool. And I just love that like that bit at the end where he's like, I don't believe in God, but I believe in you, is like, geez, my heart, you know. Mm-hmm. I love Kurt, the only Emmy nom that makes sense to me. God, my gosh.
Jane Lynch won the Emmy, didn't she?
I meant Emmy submission. You're good. I'm sorry. I say things sometimes without thinking about it. Like last week when I said that Matt was at the back, and I meant Mike. I'm sorry. And then someone on TikTok called me out. Sorry.
Speaking of Jane Lynch, let's get into the Sue of it all. Let's get into the Sue of it all.
Hear me out. Watching this episode and like having Emma come in to like yell at Sue, I was like, how am I siding with Sue right now? Like even Emma, the guidance counselor, like basically like head of HR in this school, like the person who should be the advocate for Kurt in this situation, is like so blinded by all of this. And it takes like, you know, Sue being like, dude, this is not appropriate for a public school, to like kind of snap her into it and like talk to her about that. So hear me out. I really like Sue in this episode.
Yeah, I was like, Emma, the student who filed the complaint is the one that you keep saying you guys are trying to help.
Yeah.
I cannot wrap my head around where Emma and Will are supposed to be coming from here. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sorry, Ryan Murphy, I know that this scene is the one you're most proud of in your career, but that was my big issue with it. Yeah. Is I was like, I am a very religious person, and Emma is so clearly in the wrong in this scenario, mm-hmm. that it like wasn't even that interesting to me. That I was know. Like, Emma, you're making this big stink about how like there should be an exception and you should be allowed to talk about God in class for this week to really help this one student, but who that student is the one who is complaining about mm-hmm. it and wants to stop it. What's not clicking?
Yeah,
it's dumb. I don't know how we're supposed to side with Emma and Will. They have a weird perspective on this. It would have made more sense if like another, like as I said, like Mercedes was going through something and she wanted them to like focus on God for a little bit to help her.
And then Sue was like, don't do this. Yeah, totally. That would make way more sense.
Yeah. And then I would be like, oh, this is interesting. And I don't know which side I'm on because Sue is correct, like separation of church and state. But then Emma is correct that like Mercedes really, really needs this right now. So like it is interesting where you can see both sides. Mm-hmm. But this one, I'm like, I only see Sue's side, and Sue's side is the only one that makes any sense.
I completely agree.
I do like, I don't know. I think it's interesting, the whole idea of like, we don't get any confirmation that like Sue now believes in God or anything, but she does have a better understanding as to why people do believe in God.
Yeah.
And I do really like that Sue is like, her reasoning that she doesn't have a belief system is just like, why would God have done this to my sister? Like, why would my sister have to lead this life and have people treat her this way? Like, if God is there, and that her sister is the one who is like, I have no problem with it. That her sister is like, I believe in God and I don't think he made a mistake.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what opens Sue's eyes. And it doesn't open her eyes to like, God is real, but it opens her eyes to like, oh, it's not that black and white.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, people are stupid for believing in God because they're suffering. Because she's like, Jean has more reason to not believe than I do, and yet she does.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. I thought it was a good takeaway. I think Jane Lynch is such a phenomenal actor. She so does such beautiful. A good job.
Oh my God. Those moments
in every
with her
scene she's in.
Those moments with her and Jean are always so lovely to me. I just love the way, I don't like Jane Lynch, like just be like, I think we grapple with this all the time that like having Sue have more of a heart is something that is weird. And it's not something that I totally know how I feel about quite yet, but seeing her have a soft spot for her sister is so sweet, especially in this episode. Because I can tell she like genuinely cares about Kurt, and I can tell she genuinely cares about Jean too. I don't, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
The show does this a couple times, a few times, where they will have a disagreement between Will and Emma. I mean, not Will and Emma. Will and Sue.
Yeah.
Where Sue is clearly, like, at least book-wise in the right. Mm-hmm. And that happens in this episode where it's like, Sue is correct. Like, this is a public school. You cannot do this. Kurt is complaining about it. Mm-hmm. And I do actually really like that. And, like, hints that, like, Sue does actually, like, know how to be a teacher and, like, know how schools work, even though a lot of the time she disregards it. I also think this might be a controversial opinion, but I like it because we have the Kurt storyline where Kurt does not believe and he doesn't have a desire to believe.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, it's fake. Like, you guys are deluding yourselves and, like, great if it makes you feel happy, but, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to lie to myself. And he, like, Kurt has no need to believe in a higher power. Mm-hmm. And then I like, in contrast, that you get the feeling that Sue is, like, envious of people who do have a belief system and, like, yearns for one but just doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And I think it is really cool to have both of those perspectives, because I think that is very true, that there are plenty of people who, like, just don't believe in God. And it's not, like, they just, like, they don't, and they don't have any desire to. They're not, like, missing something in their life. But there are those people that, like, something happened to them and they really miss that thing that they used to feel, but they just can't reconcile it with how their life is now.
Yeah.
And like, they would love to be able to, but they just can't make the pieces mesh together. And so I do love that, like, that is showcased through Sue in this episode.
Yeah. That actually reminds me of an anecdote in you and I's friendship.
Yours
and my friendship. I remember one time you weren't living here, but I remember I Marco Polo'd you. And I don't know if you could tell how emotional I was. I'm going to get emotional now. I asked you if I was going to go to hell and you said no, and I cried. And not because I even am a person who believes in hell, but like, just like, it kind of reminds me of that moment where, like, I don't know. Religion is hard.
Well, it's also hard to like have something that like you really, really believed in and have it taken away from you. And just like, you can't make yourself believe it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, sure, you would love to, and you would love to go back to the way you were and like how you were, like, you thought all of these things, but you're like, but I would be lying to myself and I physically cannot do that. And it like, it's kind of like mourning a part of who you were.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that your life was better than by any means. It's not saying that you were like a better person than by any means, but it is like, it was a part of you and that part of you no longer exists. It's the same thing of like when you think back to who you were when you were a kid and you get all nostalgic about like everything. It's just like, this was a part of me and it was such an important part and that part is gone.
Yeah.
And this doesn't mean that I want it back, but like part of me is mourning kind of the passing of that part of me.
Yeah.
How many times can I say part?
Oh, just got emo on you guys.
I liked it.
I liked it. I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
I always feel bad when I get too over. I'm always like, I should like, you know, be less emo sometimes. But I can't help it. I'm so sensitive.
Yeah. I mean, also, this is literally an entire episode about religion and God.
Literally.
What are we supposed to do?
Other than air our traumas. Oh my gosh. But I do, like, I really appreciate that about this episode is it's so many perspectives about it. Like, and I mean, I've seen myself in all of these perspectives, you know, and watching it now, like, as an adult, I've seen... I just appreciate that. I really mm-hmm. do.
Yeah, Glee actually, like, you know, kudos to them on this one.
I know. Like I said it before, not a lot of these big issue episodes really, like, take this amount of time and care to, like, mm-hmm. show so many perspectives. God, I mean, even, like, the small, like, you know, smaller bits of episodes where they've done these huge topics, like, are not. Handled with this much care, and I appreciate that. Who wrote this episode? Pardon me?
Brad Falchuk.
Brad. Little Brad.
Mm-hmm. And jeez. I think a part of the reason is, in a lot of other, like, issue episodes, there's other plot lines going on.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. there'll be, uh-huh. like, either the, like, with Mercedes ED, like, that was the B plot of the episode. Or even if the yeah. issue is the A plot, there are still, like, B and C plots. Whereas in this episode... every plot is about faith.
Yes.
And so we are able to, like, view it from so many sides, and you don't feel like, ooh, they didn't spend enough time on that because they spent the whole episode on
totally.
It.
Totally. Because even, like, with the Mercedes plot line, I was like, they should spend more time on this. And, like, this episode, they really don't bring this up again, like, this kind of, like, topic with at least, like, Kurt or even Finn again. And it doesn't bother me as much, you know? It doesn't bother me that they didn't spend, like, a multi-episode arc on, you know, the religion. Because, you know, mm-hmm. the whole episode is taking that time to talk about it. I love Bert so much.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so glad he survived.
He pulls through.
I know. I just love Bert. I think Bert and Kurt's relationship is one of the most special things I've ever seen on a television show. And I know mm-hmm. I say it every time, but it is so special to witness. And I love seeing Kurt realize that, like, you know, his family is, you know, his spirituality, and it's something that he holds on to, and it's something he believes in. And I think it's so cute and lovely. I love it.
All right, let's talk about Finn losing his religion.
You know what my favorite thing about the Finn plotline is?
What?
It might be a weird thing. The way he makes out with Rachel is so awkward.
When his, like, feet are still on the floor
yeah,
and he's like bent over and laying on the bed.
It's so cute. And then, like, I don't know. I just feel like the way that they're both, like, sitting on opposite chairs and their backs are, like, arched towards each mm-hmm. other. Like, they just look like 16-year-olds making out, you know? Like, they look so awkward.
It reminds me, well, sorry, everyone, not to, you know, reference Marvel again, but it reminds me of... when Peter and MJ kiss in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Uh-huh.
And because, like, I'm yeah. sorry, I've had enough of TV and movies being like, you know, when you're 15 and you're, like, super sexually experienced and nothing is awkward. Like, no, I don't know what that's like. Yeah, barely literally. Anyone does. And so I love just, like, how incredibly, like, shy and awkward their kisses mm-hmm. in that movie. Yeah. And it makes me, like, root for them even more.
Totally.
It, as opposed to if it was, like, some, like, big movie, like, dramatic kiss. And I love that Rachel and Finn are kissing, like, two awkward teenagers yeah. and he, like, isn't fully on the bed and is, like, half standing the whole time.
I know. And it's, it's so funny. I just think.
Also.
What?
His face when he goes, you don't think you're going to have sex until you're 25?
I love Finn, man. I can't help it. I just think he's the best. He is so weird. I also think, like, I don't know. I said this during, I can't remember which episode it was, but it was the episode where Puck and Rachel were dating. And I felt like that, it was, like, filmed kind of like a little more... How do I say this?
Sexy?
Yeah. And this, like, I appreciated the way that this one was filmed. I feel like it was a bit more tasteful because I, you know, these are adults, but they are also playing children. So I appreciate that we, like, didn't see Finn, like, hold her boob, you know?
Yeah, it, like, his hand got to her waist and then the camera was like, and pan away.
Yeah. And the important part of that is Finn acting like a weirdo, you know? Like, that's the part I care about. So, I don't know. I appreciated that. Yeah. I appreciated how young these and awkward these people were.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
I do. So, Finn, for the Finn story, we have the perspective of someone, like with Sue, we have someone who has lost faith in the past. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of mourning that loss and maybe having like a desire to rekindle it, possibly. And then Finn, we have the perspective of someone who has a faith belief and then goes through a faith crisis and loses that belief.
Yeah.
It's probably my least favorite of the perspectives just because it's handled so lightly.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, here's the deal. I don't watch Glee to just have heavy drama the whole episode. No. Like, Glee is a comedy. But, like, the Kurt storyline still has plenty of funny moments.
Yeah.
Like, freaking Brittany has so many one-liners when she's like,
oh my God.
I did this book report on heart attacks if you want to give it to the doctors. I got knocked down a whole letter grade because I did it in crayon. Like, it is not distasteful. Like, it still keeps the heaviness of the situation, but it's still very funny.
Remember but the how Finn, Brittany makes Kurt a card that says heart attacks are just from loving too much.
It's so sweet. It's that so tone-deaf. That is the
sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I also, seeing Santana tell Kurt that she's really sorry about his dad is very tender.
Yeah, it is. You know?
Mm-hmm. Which is, once again, like, Finn, could you not have ever had a conversation with Kurt about this?
I know.
Like, Santana, who openly bullies him, is comforting him. What's going on with you? I think the grilled cheeses stuff is very funny.
Yeah.
It just doesn't super fit in with the rest of the episode for me. And maybe it was necessary. Maybe if I saw a cut of the episode where it was taken out, I'd be like, this episode is too heavy and they kind of lost what the show is supposed to be. I don't know. It's just weird that, like, Sue's plot line of, like, facing her faith again is treated so seriously, and then Finn's plot line of losing his faith is treated so lightly. It's a little bizarre to me, but that doesn't mean it was the wrong choice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also like, the, you know, think about it. We have Kurt literally going through like a terribly traumatic experience, and then Finn seeing the face of Jesus on a sandwich. And, like, that's the thing that makes him think that he's a prophet. So I understand, like, the origins of this story are not ones to, is not one to, like, you know, be taken super seriously. The man thinks he's a prophet because of his sandwich.
So, yeah. I don't think it was bad.
Yeah.
We've already voiced, I think it's weird that it's the Finn storyline when, like, his brother, essentially, and his dad essentially are going through this thing and he, like, doesn't address it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It happens.
How did you feel about Emma talking to Finn in the office?
I thought it was fine.
Okay.
I mean, he was, like, here's the deal. He was praying to a sandwich. Like, it wasn't that he was, like,
thought that he literally hurt someone because
that's true. Yeah.
Him praying to a sandwich. At first, I was like, Emma, that was kind of abrasive. But I think he genuinely went in there with, like, I have these, like, I genuinely hurt this kid. I don't know what to do about it. And Emma was like, no, you didn't. And I, you know.
Yeah. And she's not like, listen up, punk. God isn't real. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
She's just like, hey, so there are other factors at play.
Yeah.
You should not be pinning the self stuff on you. And also, like, maybe don't pray to a sandwich.
Yeah, totally. Maybe that's not the move. How do you feel about him eating the sandwich?
thought it was funny. I know it's like symbolic. I know it's like symbolic of like he's lost his belief system and everything, but I mostly thought it was funny.
That turnaround with him. You know what? I appreciate that turnaround. It was so fast. Mm-hmm. He did 2 football games. What was that, like a week and a half, maybe? I don't know how football works.
You're looking at the wrong person. He went through
an entire, whole process.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And he was losing his religion.
Can we talk about Mercedes in this episode?
Yeah.
She gets 2 solos.
I know. I
love that.
During Bridge Over Troubled Waters, I wrote, Mercedes has 2 solos. This episode is sacred.
Yep. And we only get 1 more.
Yeah. It sucks for sure. But that there are other episodes where she sings in 2 songs. It's just these 2 songs are just her. No one else sings unless it's backup.
Yeah.
But it's true that like Rachel has plenty of episodes where she gets 2 entire songs.
Yeah.
But
whatever.
I will never understand why they keep doing this thing where they bring in new characters to take on traits that Mercedes already has and could be more fleshed out by focusing more on her.
Yep.
Like they were like, Rachel needs like competition. Like she needs to feel threatened. So let's bring in Sunshine. Mercedes is already in the class.
Yeah.
And she already is very talented and like could do a sing off with Rachel. Uh-huh. And she also like doesn't want to sing backup. That you can already do that storyline if you focus more on Mercedes. And they're like, we need, because Ryan Murphy did say he like announced in the 2nd season that he was like going to introduce a new character who was Christian, because he was like, this is a show about like learning from other people's point of view. And I think it's really important that we also like have the Christian point of view, which I guess is Sam, because Sam is Christian, but it's not like a big deal. But I was like, you already have one. Like, Mercedes is on the show.
Yeah, and also Quinn.
And also Quinn, yeah. These 2 characters who are, like, Quinn is much more vocally religious than Mercedes, but, like, focus more on them instead of bringing in a new character. Glee has this issue that they keep bringing in new people to do stuff that the people who are being ignored could easily do.
Yeah.
But they like just don't want to flesh them out. And then they bring in new people and most of the time they don't even flesh them out either. So now we just have like all of these cardboard cutouts of people and Rachel and Finn.
And Kurt.
Yeah. It's like, goodness gracious.
No, I know. That's so, Ryan Murphy is the weirdest person I have ever heard of. I didn't even know about any of this like announcing shit that he did. What the heck?
Oh my word. Ryan Murphy, I think this was 2 years ago, posted somewhere about how he had a dream for if he were to remake Glee, what it would be.
Oh my
and
God.
Said, literally,
I
here's
don't
the plot.
It. I really don't.
He has since deleted it, but you can find
Good.
It. it is, Lea Michele is still in it, of course.
Obviously. His daughter.
Yeah. And then Ben Platt is in it, of course.
Well,
now that he like
Ben Platt loves, Ryan Murphy loves Ben Platt. That makes sense.
Yeah. Now that like he has found Ben Platt and taken him under his wing.
Have you ever seen The Politician? I'm sorry to interrupt
I
you.
I have
again.
Not.
You should.
I have not. And I think
it's
I would
awesome.
Love it.
You would.
Because as I've mentioned, I don't like Ryan Murphy shows and yet I love all of Ryan Murphy shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. We are in a toxic relationship. I can't leave.
I love The Politician.
But Ben Platt would be in it, and Ben Platt would be, like, the stud of the school and would, quote, be sleeping with everyone.
Oh, which, my, Ryan, shut the fuck up.
Hear me out.
Jeez.
Ben Platt is handsome.
Yeah.
But teenage Ben Platt is not.
I've seen Pitch Perfect.
Is not the like there's a reason that when he started his career he was always cast as nerds.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm not saying he's unattractive, but he has a nerd vibe. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't buy that he no part of me is like, and Ben Platt would be the stud at a high school getting action from everyone. Anyways. And then So Ben Platt and Rachel, I'm assuming Lea Michele is Rachel, are like in the Glee Club, and they are they're like fighting over solos, and like they don't like each other because blah blah blah. And then Beanie Feldstein from like Booksmart, you know,
I love Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah. I know. I was literally, EP Tiff texted me about this and she sent it to me, and I responded and I said, why do I both hate this so much and also wish that it was real because I really want to watch it? Beanie Feldstein then comes in and she ends up being like phenomenal and she gets all the solos. So then Ben Platt and Rachel have to unite against their common enemy, Beanie Feldstein, to take her down. And I was like, hear me out. I hate the fact that this man is so desperate for attention that he felt the need to tweet this out years after the show ended.
Yeah.
And yet, I will not deny that I would pay money to watch this show.
Oh, I would watch the fuck out of that, yeah. I have the weirdest relationship with Ryan Murphy ever, because I have, like, seen everything. I had to stop watching American Horror Story because I was too sensitive for it, though. But like, I've watched everything else and I'm obsessed with it, and I'm like, Ryan Murphy, literally, I don't even like him as a person. If I ever met him, I don't think we would get along, you know, like, what? And I have genuine beef with him. Why do I still continue to give this man my money?
I think that Ryan Murphy has George Lucas syndrome, which is
totally
he has absolutely incredible ideas, but he needs someone with him to tell him no. Because, like, freaking the prequel trilogy of Star Wars is George Lucas with absolutely no one telling him no. And I'm sorry, everyone. You cannot gaslight me into thinking those movies are good just because you grew up with them. Phantom Menace is objectively a boring movie. I swear that movie is six hours long.
Are you an angel?
They are pod racing for 45 minutes of that movie.
Oh my god,
Why didn't no one tell George Lucas to cut that sequence down?
What sort of Tokyo Drift is that? I don't care.
I feel like our entire generation is collectively pulling a prank on me that they all have decided that they unironically think that the prequels are good movies. And like, I'm not denying that they have many good aspects. And like, Revenge of the Sith is good. And like, the overall storyline is really good. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly George Lucas's problem. Is that his overall idea was fantastic, but he cannot write dialogue. He cannot direct. Those movies are like watching planks of wood stare at each other for like 6 hours. And that's like, George Lucas needs someone to take, which is exactly what happened with the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. He was like, here's the basic idea. And other people wrote the script and other people directed it. And he was just there advising him. And that's the best trilogy. The prequel is too much George Lucas. The sequels are not enough George Lucas. Ryan Murphy needs someone to original trilogy Star Wars him. He needs someone to like put him on a leash and be like, yes, Ryan, you do have very exciting ideas for TV shows, but we're going to maybe take down how many new characters are introduced. We're maybe going to not tackle all of these issues. We're maybe going to keep a show Bible and remember stuff that you've established about these characters in the past. I truly think he is such an incredibly creative person.
Yeah.
He just needs someone who will tell him no.
Agreed.
Wow. This truly turned from talking about Jesus to talking to Ryan Murphy, which, I mean, you can fill in that blank on your own, everyone. Do you have...
My God.
Any grilled cheese thoughts we haven't touched on? Because you know, we have truly just left it in the dust.
You know, I don't think so.
Oh.
Oh, what?
We never talked about What If God Was One of Us.
Oh.
My only thought about this song is they look like they're in the Backstreet Boys.
The way that they're all like leaning on each other. Was nasty.
Who is like, we can't see a finger? Like, if I see a finger, the number is ruined.
They're, all their hands are like
all
in
of
their
your
pants.
Hands in your pockets.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, they're all like so meticulously posed to look relaxed.
Yeah. It's I hate it.
It's like that scene. It's like that scene. I'm sorry. I don't mean to reference other things, but I feel like this is a pretty universal reference. In Parks and Rec, when Leslie's at the bowling alley and she's trying to prove to the guy that she's laid back, and she keeps like trying to pose like a laid back person, but you can tell how forced it is, and she looks more uptight. They all of them look so rigid and like they're afraid to move, but you can tell that they're like, see, we're totally chill. Ignore the fact that my whole body is shaking right now. Yeah. Because I'm afraid to break this position.
I know. Also, like, they treat that number like it's so cathartic for them, and it is so weird to me. And the way that Finn has, like, Brittany on one side and Quinn on the other side, and it's, like, these two hot blondes. I was like, who? I don't understand. It was weird. Like, I didn't like it. I also, hear me out. Don't really like that song. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, it's weird that that's the song that like makes Sue cry.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with the message of the song.
Yeah.
Where it's like, treat other people like you would treat God.
Yeah.
And like recognize like the divinity in other people.
Totally.
And like, that's a great message, but I agree. The song itself, I'm like, yeah, I could really take or leave this song.
Yep.
All right. Well,
is that
all right? Do you want to say the closing prayer to wrap this Sunday school lesson up?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Here we go.
Please do not actually pray on this podcast.
Literally, you won't. I will not.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Ian, what was your best part of this episode?
All right, best number, hands down, I want to hold your hand, no competition.
I'm going to interject and say, I agree right here, right now, you will not catch me saying anything else.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking while I was watching the episode, I was like, I make it a point to not say the same thing as Lena, but if Lena goes first and she says, I want to hold your hand, I'm saying the same thing.
I know, I literally thought the same thing.
It's like, it's the clear choice.
It is. And like Mercedes obviously kills it in this episode, and that's something to note. But like, come on.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Best part, I just like that they really took an issue and looked at it from a bunch of different perspectives and didn't ever say like, and this perspective wins.
Yeah.
They were like, here's just some food for thought.
Yeah.
Signing off.
Totally.
What about you?
Obviously, best song is Wanna Hold Your Hand. Duh. My best part is, like it always is in an episode with Kurt and Bert, it's a conversation that, you know, Kurt has with Bert at the end where he's like holding his hand and he's like, oh my God. In the moment where he's like, remember when we made chicken that one time and we opened it up and it was raw and we laughed and then we realized it was too soon to be laughing. Like
that line.
Oh my God.
Is heartbreaking.
It is. And it's so, it was just lovely. And the way that Kurt is so beautiful in this episode and oh my God, Chris Colfer deserves everything. He is so incredible. I can't wait to watch him cry so much in this show.
Yeah, like nonstop. It's
nonstop. I'm pumped. But yeah, that was my best part. Ian, what was your worst part of this episode?
My worst part is the way that every character treats Kurt as if he's like personally antagonizing them because he doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
And then they never learn a lesson from it.
Yeah.
Like Kurt gets all pissy that people are praying. And then he learns a lesson of like, hey, maybe I was overreacting.
Yeah.
But never do any of them learn a lesson of like the fact that someone doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
Is not like your business.
Yeah.
And also like, just they all are so like personally offended that he's an atheist. Mm-hmm. And then none of them have an arc of realizing that like they were wrong for being offended by it.
Yeah, totally.
It's dumb. What's your worst part?
I think my worst part, along with that worst part, isn't as much like the students getting really upset with Kurt, because they're all like 15, 16, 17 year olds. They have only their perspective, and, you know, they're living their own lives. The thing that really upsets me in this episode is Will and Emma, like, really just completely disregarding Kurt's wishes and, like, acting like they're fighting for him when they're truly not in it. I don't like that at all. So that was probably my worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Assignment of the week, baby.
I'm so excited for this.
What'd you do?
Okay. So I've been thinking about it all day. And my first thought was, I should do like God is a Woman by Ariana Grande. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to pick a song that's like actually spiritual to me. And I picked, Rocky Mountain High by John Denver. Have you heard that song before?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, my God.
You know I don't know music?
I know, but it's John Denver, my guy. It's just about this guy who, like, I can't even explain how beautiful this song is to me, but it's like, you know, when he first came to the mountains, his life was far away on a road hanging by a song, but the string's already broken and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, but it won't last for long. But the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain in fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain High. Like, and it's like, it's about Colorado, but like the majesty that is Earth. And ugh, this is so weird. I'm so sorry. Like, that, don't gag
this
at
is
me.
Not weird at all.
Okay, I don't think it's weird, but I don't want people to like be weird at me. I don't know. But like the majesty that is like trees and eagles and like the beauty of like being reborn and like finding yourself. Ugh, I'm so emo. The song is the most beautiful song in the whole world. Maybe that's weird, cheesy, gross, but you
know, that was the best.
Yeah.
But
that's like my spirituality, I would say.
Yeah, no, that's always like, I don't know, that's a huge belief that I have, is like, there is so much beauty and majesty in every aspect of life that we don't pay attention to because we're used to it. Like, think about when you were a kid and the first time you did all these things and like how exciting it was for you. And now you do those things every day and you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like, I think about like, man, like it would be a bummer for me if one day like I lost my sight, or if like one day I lost my hearing, and yet here I am like not appreciating all the things I can see or all the things I can hear. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like there is so much. Yeah, life sucks a lot sometimes, but there is so much incredible things in every moment of our lives that we ignore because we focus on the stuff that sucks.
Yeah, totally. Retweet.
Anyways.
What are you singing this week, Ian?
I'm singing What's Up, going full churchy on this one. I'm singing a little ditty. It's called Be Still My Soul, Baby. Mm-hmm. So this is a song. It's called Be Still My Soul. It does not say baby at the end.
You just say baby at the end of every sentence ever.
I do, baby. It's a song about like, just be calm. Everything is going to work out like it's supposed to. But it has lyrics about like dealing with change. And I mean, like, it does have a very Jesus-y God perspective. It specifically talks about like
spirituality, man.
Yeah, so sorry everyone. It specifically
Mine's
talks
trees,
about like
Jesus.
About how like God's in control and like things are going to work out. But it's a song that I used to listen to a lot when I would have like very bad anxiety. Like if I would have anxiety that was so bad that like I could not get out of bed, and I would play that song and just listen to it to calm myself down. So it's very special to me. It's very beautiful. That's my spirituality song, everyone.
Hell yeah. Good thing we're not in public school. We could sing it.
Oh, here's the deal. Here's
What's
the
deal?
In my choir, we sang songs about God, but here's the difference is we weren't like, and here's God week. It just like, you cannot look at the Renaissance and edit out art that is about God and is inspired by God. Like, it's such, religion is so prevalent in human history that you can't not talk about it in public schools. But our teacher would have us sing songs and just be like, here's the song we're singing this week. And she'd like tell us about like the person who wrote it. But she wouldn't be like, here we're singing, like, we're singing Elijah Rock. And here's the story of Elijah from the Bible and the trials and tribulations that he went through. Like, you can sing spiritual songs in a like public school choir. You just can't make them about like religion and turn them into like trying to make people religious.
Right. Totally. And it's not your missionary lesson. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly what they're doing with this, is they specifically are like, we're only doing songs about God and we're doing it because we all want to share our beliefs. And it's like, no, you can look at them objectively appreciating them as a form of art.
Yeah.
But you can't like, like you said, try and like turn it all into missionary moments for your students.
Yeah.
Dumb. Will is a bad teacher. Didn't you know?
He is. We talk about it all the time. You know what I do appreciate about this episode? He's not in it very much.
Yeah,
it is like
not.
The most, he's barely it is in the it. Most like student centered episode we've had in a while. I feel like appreciated that. Well, heck. It's a season wrap on grilled Jesus.
Let's see a sacred season wrap on grilled Jesus. Grilled Jesus. Grilled Jesus. Grilled Jesus. Okay, so if you want to follow us on our social medias, you totally can. You can find us on
TikTok
and Instagram at recoveringgleek_podcast.
You can follow us
on Twitter at recoveringgleek. We would love if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. It helps people find our podcast. If you want to send us your thoughts about grilled cheeses, you can send us a voicemail, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. You can send us an email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Check out the minisode on Monday. You know, party time.
Party.
There it is.
Well, heck. I wish you all a blessed day.
Yeah. Go spread some glorified glee.
Go spread some holy glee. Here's a kiss on your forehead. Here you go.
Here's a kiss on your forehead. The heavens, I kissed you and like the heavens parted.
Whoa,
and a ray of light shone down on your forehead. And you have been blessed by the divine kith.
Kith from you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, you guys. Love you, miss you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Oh, I think I need to go to the bathroom too much to talk for an outro.
Fine.
So this is your outro, everyone. I'm headed to the bathroom. Have a great week. Bye.
Classic Ian, always going pee.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.